Hey guys, it's the Guerrilla Music Battle of the Bands in a city near you. You can win studio time, cash, play for huge crowds, get out-of-town gigs, local headlining shows, and learn how to become one of the biggest bands in town.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
Welcome to Keeping It 99, your one-stop shop podcast for everything in the world of heavy metal, rock and roll, Northeast Ohio. Sometimes none of that. My name is Eagle, and I almost made a Facebook video about this show because I came in today and I was talking to Redbeard, and I was like, "Hey, what's going up with this one T-shirt, one CD deal?" And he said, "Hey, if you sell anything more than that, you're off the fucking show. And in fact, if you sell any promotions for the Lousy Weather Media main show, guys, you're getting kicked off the fucking show." I was pissed. I was heated. Having a bad day. I was like, hey, let's unite the podcast scene against fucking Redbeard. But I don't feel that way. We're here with Rubber City Redbeard.
Yeah!
My partner in crime. The guy that's always headlining.
You gotta unite to love the Redbeard. All of you, unite!
Unite
to
the
love
fucking
me.
Red beard.
Love my
unite
face!
Unite the fucking red beard!
Wang yeah, dang dingly do, man.
That was something that got around the internet quick.
Mm.
Boy, did that travel fast.
Do you think other scenes have local band metal drama like what you get in Northeast Ohio with bands?
I don't know, man.
Such as Mushroom Head. Do you think there's like a band out in Portland which is just like, oh, like somebody thinks they're all hot shit, like they're the king of the black metal scene in Portland, Oregon. But I just went up to him and I was like, hey man, why can't we sell our homemade gauntlets at the merch table? And he's like, because I'm my wife selling her homemade gauntlets at the merch table. So I'm out here, man, with my fucking corpse paint on, telling you motherfuckers, whip sunglasses off, fucking unite the fucking black metal scene against, you know, skull fuck head death Satan. You think anybody else gets that?
I don't know. I would hope that we're not the only ones that there's like drama happening with bands. I don't know, dude. It was surprising to me. I just seen a post and I was like, what is going on? And then somebody sent the link.
Yeah.
So then I watched the video and it got taken down, I think, the next day.
And because of you is probably the reason that I deleted this video.
But yeah, the singer from the band Psychosis, he was pretty.
Chris was a little mad.
Shit got heated for a minute. There's no doubt about that.
He was a little mad, man.
Well, he said, and what he said to me last night at the show was that they've played with Mushroom Head plenty of times, and they've never done that. They've never seen Mushroom Head do that to anybody. And then they just cracked down on all the locals. Every local band was only allowed to sell one shirt and one CD. Yeah. And they weren't allowed to sell any tickets to A Killer's Confession.
Because Waylon and the Mushroom Head guys,
they're not friends. Especially Skinny.
Yeah,
and Waylon. Especially like, Skinny and Waylon. And Skinny's like the main dude of Mushroom Head. He's like the president of Mushroom Head. If you want to look at Mushroom Head as a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the CEO. You know? So, you know, it's his show. I guess it's his call. It kind of sucks.
Yeah.
When you got, look, when, and this is my personal opinion, when you have a room full of merch, when you got fucking 12 feet of merch and you're selling $175 hockey jerseys and shit, and then you're telling the locals that they're only allowed to sell one CD and one shirt, like, I mean, it's a shitty move.
Yeah.
It's a shitty move.
It is a shitty move.
Should you have made that video? And went on the social medias with the little, probably not, probably a bad move,
probably not,
but it is what it is.
And there's probably a huge part of the singer dude that it's like, I probably shouldn't have done that. Probably shouldn't.
Yeah. Well, he says I don't go back on what I said, but you know, I took it down. Probably wasn't the best move.
And I think Mushroom Head's just gonna continue to take their path and probably just not respond.
No,
they have a long history of like having people be like, "Man, fuck those dudes," and they're just like publicly going.
Business
like,
wise, I'm sure that's happened plenty.
They're like Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon would never acknowledge WCW. He would have never done it back in the '90s. They would always be like that other company. Mushroom Head's kind of like that guy's where like
That other singer guy.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. We don't even mention him here. We got Stone Cold Steve Austin. That'd be J-Man in the band.
Your boys from fucking Psych Ward were running the show last night.
My boys from Psych Ward, Chris and Randy.
They were fucking straight
smoke,
running the show.
Crack, worship, Satan. It's been a long week and it's been a long cry. Stay wasting time at this little job of mine. It's time for the weekend. Hear what I'm speaking. It's time for cheap individual peeking. Smoke, crack, worship, Satan. Did you tell them that I love them?
Did you? Yeah, Randy says that they love you as well. Crusher.
Yeah. Yeah. We played many of shows with Psych Ward.
Randy actually listens to the show, which I thought was cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't realize that any of those guys listened to the show.
Well, what up, Randy?
Yeah.
My boy. Played many of shows with those guys. How was the show? It was Killer's Confession played, Psychosis played. You got to be there. Was there a lot of buzz? Was there a lot of... Because it was the day of... It was the day of, the singer from Psychosis putting up the video where he was just like, unite the fucking scene against fucking Mushroomhead.
Yeah, everybody was just chanting.
It's like, whoa!
Nothing was really said at the show last night. Everybody was kind of trying to high road it and avoid it because they already low roaded it and hit it head on.
Yeah, right. Smart move. Smart business play.
So they didn't say a whole lot about it last night. No. The show went off. It was cool. There wasn't a whole lot of people out. It was Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's taking vacation time from work and they're going to fucking, you know, another state to be at the beach or go camping and ride four wheel, whatever the fuck they're doing on their vacations. I don't know what people do on vacations. I haven't fucking taken one ever. So, fuck you guys. With your free time and vacation and shit. Yeah, it's just, you know, so it's a bad weekend for anything, like bar-wise. You know, people aren't out. So, I don't know, we were maybe 150 there last night.
It's really not too bad of a turnout. That's not too bad of a turnout.
There's a lot of bands. I'm trying to, like, count the people, but then it's like there was a bunch of bands, so it's like you got to count the bands, too.
How many bands,
like,
played, would you say?
10?
10.
So there's 50 people right there.
10's like, did you use two stages?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad at all. Like, no, really, for, like...
Still sucks. It still sucks.
I don't. I mean, I don't work it. I'm not working.
It's just
it,
it's unnecessary. For me, I say it all the time. It's unnecessary to put that many bands on a bill unless it's just a problem for you to sell tickets that the headliner can't sell. And I still think just as many people would have came out last night if there was 5 fucking bands on the bill.
Oh, really?
And I feel like that about a lot of those shows.
Right.
Like, hey, you know, if you would have just put these bands on this show, then these other fucking 6 bands that sold 2 tickets apiece.
Yeah.
Who fucking gives a shit? Why even spend this time and this money? Like, we could just all go home. 5 bands. Fuck out of here.
See, you remember when Peabody's used to run shows... And I always felt like when it was a 10-band bill, but they would have the Pirates Cove.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was just like while the one band's setting up, the other band's playing on
second stage.
And that's the idea behind it, at least. It doesn't always work out that way. But the idea is, you know, hey, we're in the main stage, we're playing a show, and then as soon as we're done, next band's playing right in the Pirates Cove.
That's so how
you
it
go
is
over
the
there,
post.
And you go boom, 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 boom. As long as that can stay on time,
yeah.
I always found that to be kind of fun because I would rather go have the option to check out another band in the other room or go outside and go kick it and have a beer or two in between the sets than like not having the option of seeing another possible good band. And I know a lot of people that have played like awesome shows being like the 7th band on the second stage or... Right. But no more than 10. I'm just saying 10 is the ideal.
You can find good in anything. So
sure.
If you look hard enough, you can find good in anything.
I'm being too optimistic, you're saying.
I just don't think it's necessary. I don't know. I like shows with, you know, 4 or 5 bands and there's time in between bands because then you get to fucking mingle and talk to people.
Yeah.
That's how you make friends and connections. And I'm a talker. So I like meeting new people. So, you know, instead of band, 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 it's like band hang out, have a drink, go out on the fucking deck, smoke a joint, maybe fucking check out some merch, bring my merch to my car, fucking take a hit out of the bottle that's in the trunk.
Sure.
Walk back into the club, still have a little bit of time, grab a water, go in, you know, other bands going on.
Mm-hmm.
So there's good in both situations.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'd be able to still be able to do that anyway if there was a band playing on the second stage. Like, you have the option to still go outside, go do all those things. There's just a band playing in the background. Yeah. It's like you're in a cool teen movie, the party scene. Is that music in the background?
There's music in the background anyways on the overhead.
Not true. It's always good music.
So that's what I'm saying. You don't need the other five bands. You just hit the iPod. Overhead. Band setting up.
Yeah.
And it's sweet. But kind of then sit there and watch bands set up, you know, talk to the dudes.
As long as
bro, throw me a drumstick.
As long as the bands are all pretty good, I have nothing against the 10-2 stage.
But that's the thing. If all the bands are good.
They gotta be good.
10 bands.
Yeah, like Blackout Cookout.
Right, y'all. Well, okay, but that's like an annual show.
And it's all good bands.
That's a thing, though. Right, of course it's all good bands. But, you know, it's not all good bands when you have fucking these local showcases and... And mushroom head shows where you got fucking 12 openers and shit. You're just farming bands to sell tickets. That's all that is. Come on. They're not all good. Some of them are good. Not all good. This is not how it goes.
That's a great point.
I wish it went that way. I wish there were shows with fucking 12 great bands on it. Do you know how fucking rare that is? That doesn't fucking happen, dude. You have a show with 12 bands. Half of them are going to be good. So why have the other half? Tell the other half to stay at home in the garage and work on the shit. Stop coming out of your garage so soon.
Practice your scales.
How many times I've seen bands on stage and did that thing where I was like, oh, these fucking guys. These are the ones that are at home. Like, totally fucking ready, dude. We're ready.
You're not ready.
Your mom told you was ready because she doesn't want you playing in her fucking garage anymore. But you're not ready, and your friends are lying to you. They're not even your real friends.
How do you tell your friends their music is terrible when just to be bearable would require a miracle? How do you say it's no good, think you should maybe just keep it to yourself and play it for nobody else?
They're just fucking yes men.
You guys are great. We think you're awesome. They're fucking liars. You're 17. How great can you be? Work on your shit. There's pretty great 17-year-olds. By reality, kids were good when they were 17.
Yeah.
Caligo was great when they were 17.
Caligo. We have never really talked about Caligo on the show.
What? Like, what do you mean we never talked about Caligo? We did like a whole Caligo show, didn't we?
No, we were like we were, but like it got cut down to like 5 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
Caligo was a band.
Band that, I mean, people may never have heard of, but there was this period of time in the early 2000s, especially in Akron and Kent. In Cleveland, well respected in Cleveland.
I pure, straight hate you. But God damn it, do I respect you.
There was this band of kids.
Speaking of mushroom bed, they fucking loved Caligo.
Yeah.
You know?
Caligo. Those guys, they united the scene while they were together.
Yeah.
Before they moved to Georgia or whatever. They, like...
Like, the entire band moved to Georgia in a house.
You know how, like, sometimes when you're doing, you say, you know, you're doing something and you have a friend that's, like, overly excited about what you're doing. Like, man, you're fucking kicking fucking ass at this shit. Like, Caligo was that for, like, my band and all these other local bands of like, kids. Because I remember playing a show with Caligo, not knowing shit about Caligo. Seeing Finner, who was singing for the band at the time,
right,
just like bobbing his head like, yeah, motherfucker, yeah, just like all super hyping up. And I got off stage and I was just like, hey, what's up, dude, from Caliga? Did you like our band? He's like, I want to play shows with you motherfuckers all the time. And I was like, I felt like a king. All of a sudden, I was like, I feel really good about myself.
This good band wants to play with us.
You know what? We will become friends with them. And then we made all these other friends with all these other bands. It's like you go, you meet the Enemy guys or the Etched in Pain guys or the guys in STEM.
Like Buffalo, kids, New York, fucking Niagara. Like they had, connections over in Erie. They had connections everywhere.
These kids in Caligo, they were so fucking sweet and so fucking nice. And like every single one of them had their own personality. As far as local bands goes, like if you've never heard of Caligo, go check them out. Just based off the fact that they were like a boy band, but they were creating this new style. It was almost like a new style of metal. Like they had their finger on the pulse of what was going to come. Like their shit was so heavy, so cool, and from the heart. Remember the Smut record, Grant?
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Oh yeah.
I'm unimportant, at least to you. Yeah. My only weakness is the truth.
I'm unimportant, at least to you. My only weakness is the truth.
I got to sing that song with them once. Finner's like, "Come on, Eagle, come on up," and I was like, "Oh man, I feel so good about my fucking self. These guys are so nice." These are our friends.
Well, just remember, they gave Dan Kogar a spotlight, too.
Dan Kogar. I look at these pictures. I look at these old band photos of Dan Kogar with Caligo. They're doing band photos, and he looks like the undercover 21 Jump Street cop. Like, yeah. That's him all the way.
That's totally his role.
His role. Like, he's just like, so, any dope going around here today, guys? But man, dude, that band, they had a painter. You remember they had a painter?
Yep.
And they had two singers. And the two singers, they would come on stage from two different sides of the stage.
They're brilliant.
It was a genius. It was a genius fucking strategy, guys.
It's like one came from the left and the other came from the right. I didn't know which way to look.
Yeah. You take the east, I take the west. If we end up in the middle, then we know. Here we are. We just walked all around the earth, and we just
met in the middle. Let's not touch dicks, though.
Oh, is there a kick-ass metal band behind us? Is there one guitar player that should be like a GQ model?
I wish.
Is there one that's got cool dreads and he's the nicest kid in the world?
He's like super shy. I wish they were like if somebody made a cartoon about Caligo.
Dude.
Drew would just have his head down all the time with dreadlocks in his face and never say anything. Like he would be like. The little dreadlock cousin id of fucking Caligo.
They
he was just so quiet. Until he got drunk.
Yeah.
And then it was like Jekyll Drew came out.
And Bizarro Land Drew. Yeah, he's got an evil mustache. He's got a little twirly mustache all of a sudden.
I fucking love you guys. He loves everybody when he's drunk. He's a little lover. Fucking Drew. He came out of the bar a couple months ago.
Yeah,
we hung out and kicked it.
Oh, that's so awesome.
He was awesome.
I haven't seen him in like a year, maybe. I don't know if he was that happy.
It was a bad night altogether for me personally.
Really?
Great hanging out with Drew, though. He was there. Carly was there. It was cool.
That band united the scene, though, didn't they? Like, a Caligo show would come, like, you would know the opening bands and...
But the beautiful thing about Caligo is that they were bringing... It was at a time when bands worked together and weren't just out for themselves, because that's what all it has been for 10 years.
Right.
In my opinion. It's just bands are out for themselves. They're out for themselves and they don't give a fuck. Like, Caligo would bring bands from other states down that were, like, doing things. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. they would come down and open for fucking Caligo and shit. So it was like...
And Caligo drew...
They fucking drew. Oh, they had a following.
They brought in girls.
Cool.
They brought girls.
That was crazy.
Into
yeah.
metal. Really?
Funny did that.
Yeah.
Funny packed the house and had a great following and brought in a lot of girls and shit, but they played all the fucking time and they burnt themselves out. Nobody wanted to fucking see them and shit. Like Caligo, if they would have, been able to be a band.
Yeah,
they had the sustainability Like, I think they could have just lasted.
I feel like we all felt like that at the time. Like, there was never any question out of, like, oh, all these bands are our friends, and, you know, where do we stand on the bill? Like, there was never the question, like, Caligo goes, they go on top, as high up as you can get them. Even all the people up in Cleveland respect them so much where if they were playing, like, a Mushroom Head show, they're like, oh, no, you're getting a great time.
Yeah, we're going to see Caligo.
Yeah, we're going to get behind you.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, it really felt like a special time just to be around it and just to get to know these guys. I mean, I still look at all those dudes as really tight, like brothers.
I love Fenner. Yeah, I love Fenner. Kurt, Drew, Dylan. I love them all.
Right?
You know, I haven't got to see Tyler in years. Like, I haven't got to, like, hang out with Tyler and see Tyler. But if I'd seen him, I'd give him a fucking hug.
Absolutely. You know, 100%, dude.
But they had a great thing. They had a great sound, and they were all young.
Mm-hmm.
And the painting thing, I think a lot of them tried to downplay how important it was in that band.
Aesthetically.
Because like, musically, okay, like, it doesn't add anything, musically.
Right.
That's only as far as the studio. Do you know what I mean? Everything after that counts huge. That counts huge, dude.
There was a connectability between the audience and Sham. Because Sham, like, you know, he would do, the whole gimmick was that he would do an entire painting starting at the beginning of the show. And it would end with the end of the show, and it would always say Caligo on it, and it was always this weird, awesome Derek Hess style.
A lot of the times he would have the other names of the bands that played that show incorporated into the painting with it and shit.
But he would be going crazy during the songs, like jumping out into the crowd with the paintings and just swinging the painting around, but it would still turn out beautiful every time. And I feel like there was this, it made every show feel special. Because there was that one-of-a-kind art piece that came from it.
Right.
That came from the energy of the band, came from the energy of the audience. It was a shared experience. Yeah.
There was, like, only one.
That bridged it all together. And the fact that Caligo were wonderful musicians, terrific songwriters, as far as, like, yeah, I mean, beat for beat.
They really had their shit together.
Really, they had
they had an understanding of what they wanted and how to get it to come across, so yeah.
And then they ended up switching with the whole singer thing, and then they got Bobby Clark, which was hard to be pissed off because everybody in the scene already loved Bobby Clark. He was already respected singer.
Well, it was, Fenner left, and then Tyler and Bobby were there.
Yeah.
And then Tyler stuck around for a little while, but... like, him singing next to Bobby depressed him. And that's what it was. Like, he felt like he didn't have a place in the band anymore because Bobby Clark could fucking do everything. What the fuck do you need me for?
Right.
You know? And, it was disheartening to Tyler for whatever reason. And Bobby loved singing with Tyler. Like, he liked that.
But I always thought Tyler was great. I always thought he was great. I thought he had a wonderful stage presence. I thought he was a tremendous front man. And I felt the exact same way about Fenner, too. I felt like the chemistry between Fenner and Tyler was a little bit more on key. I don't know if it was because they were better, like, you know, closer friends, known each other longer or something. But I really did feel like on stage that the two of them worked really well off of each other.
But that's how, like, that's where it was for Caligo. Like, that was Caligo. You know what I mean? Everything else after Caligo was just kind of like an adaptation of, you know, what Caligo used to be. But when it was, you know, those guys together, that was Caligo. I always thought that Fenner and Tyler did well together. Fenner sounded like shit a lot sometimes, though. You know, he'd wear his fucking throat out.
I think
maybe he wouldn't have fucking wore his voice out if he wasn't talking so much shit to everybody in between fucking bands. Drunk, loudmouth son of a bitch.
I don't even remember the situation.
Shut the pie hole, Fenner.
There's a night.
Go sing your songs.
There's a night where Caligo's playing, and I was just, you know, I was just there hanging out with friends. And he comes up and he grabs me, and I remember him wearing his work shirt like whatever his Kalima
or his, like mechanic shirt,
something. And he grabs me. He's like, "Eagle, come on, let's go fuck some dude up." And he's like pulling me, and he's ready to go F some dude up outside. And I think maybe you grabbed him. Like, you grabbed him and you pulled him back in. But I was just
was that maybe the night the big fight happened with the five dudes? There was a night with Finner that they played. He was drunk, got into an argument with some guys inside. These five guys get thrown out, okay? Because Finner was playing that night. He didn't get thrown out. The five guys got thrown out.
Right.
So these guys get thrown out. I'm out in the back parking lot with the five guys. Fucking Finner comes out the front door, around, down the sidewalk, through the alley, into the back parking lot where I'm at with these five guys. I have no idea who they were even into an argument with inside. Here comes Finner, walks right up to the group of five guys that he was just fucking fighting with and asks them for a lighter. Here we go. Here we fucking go. Like, shirts came off and fucking dude started swinging, dude. And I had fucking Big Joe was out there.
Oh, wow.
So Big Joe snatched up Finner and fucking took him around the building and inside. I'm dodging fucking punches from five dudes trying to get them to chill the fuck out so Joe can get Finner away from the fucking situation. He, I mean, but he caused the whole thing. He caused the whole thing. And you guys got a lighter? You, what are you doing? Go back inside, you drunk, loudmouth son of a bitch. I love Finner.
Me too, man. I was just thinking that. It's just the guys you're saying. Oh, my God, I love Finner.
He was such a pain in the ass back in the day when he was young because he was just a very... He had more energy than he knew what to do with, I think. Like, inside, like, build up inside. He's a very charismatic kind of guy.
Yeah.
So, he was just an asshole. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was a... He didn't have enough life... experience to kind of fill the energy that he had. You know what I mean? So that once he got a little bit older, it all evened out. He's a wonderful human being. Wonderful human. I wish they would get back together and do an old school show. I really wish they would.
I'm like, dude, I've been hung up on by this guy. And he's like, well, I can get you a quote. I said, I don't want a fucking quote from your goddamn company. All I want is removed from your fucking call list.
Dan, let's like, take a step back here.
Just
I can save you a lot of money on car insurance.
I'm like, my name is Sean, not fucking Jeremy Ackleberry.
They're like, that's a long name.
Sounds like you're pretty riled up there. You need life insurance?
I was angry.
Yeah, you might be dying soon. We can cover you on that.
And got great plans.
Lousy Weather Media, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and lousyweathermedia.com.
That band united the scene. Not against anybody.
Yeah. I don't understand you. Like, you can't unite.
Yeah, it's contradicting, right?
Yeah, it's very contradicting.
Get together to say, fuck these motherfuckers. Everybody get together, man, as a group.
Chris, I totally get it. Like, me and Chris talked last night. I get it, dude. Like, you know. You had something to say and you said it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Some people just have some beef with some guys in Mushroom Head, you know? Like, that's just the way it's going to be sometimes.
It's going to be like that always.
It's going to be like that sometimes. Yeah. And, you know, as long as you understand this, as long if you got the beef with some of the guys in Mushroom Head, it doesn't matter. And this isn't directed towards that dude specifically or anything like that. But we talked about it before. You gotta understand that they laid out the goddamn fucking blueprint for a lot of bands still to this day. And if you don't have respect for the things that they did in the early mid-90s, yes, they sounded like the song Jizz Lobber from Faith No More off Angel Dust. Like, every song on their first two records reminded me somewhat of that song. But that's how music works.
Yeah, you're influenced by somebody. Yeah. And it's gonna bleed through.
And how many bands that are bitching about Mushroom Head were influenced originally by Mushroom Head?
Yeah, or want Mushroom Head spot. And I think that's a big part of it too. Yeah, I think it's a big part of it too, is that there are a lot of bands, a lot of really talented bands
sure.
in Ohio that probably don't get the recognition that they would if there wasn't a Mushroom Head around. Because if there wasn't a Mushroom Head around, who's on top? Now it's almost like wide open, right? Like who? Because you know. So when you have somebody that's been on top of the your local scene, even though they're a national band,
they're Hulk Hogan and you're Bret Hart, and you want Hulk Hogan gone because it's your time. It's your time now. Hulk Hogan's had all the main events. He's headlined all the shows. When's gonna be my time?
When's gonna be my time, Lord? When?
I put on the mask. We got way too many members in the band. Way too many. None of us go by our real names. Not one of us. What do I got to do to get that main event spot? Skinny, please retire. Skinny, please retire. Just call it quits. Pops is going to be good. Unified Culture's got new stuff coming out. Come on. Everybody's fine.
They are never going to retire. For as long as they have masks, for as long as Skinny can leave
and backing tracks,
as long as Skinny can walk off song two and have somebody else fucking play,
yeah,
he's gonna collect a check, bro.
Damn straight.
Again, CEO.
That's
what he gets to do. He gets the big bucks for doing.
Yeah,
you know,
even if it isolates his friends and family. Look, Skinny's a dick sometimes. He's going to be a dick.
Yeah, that's a fact.
But you can't be mad at a guy who's a dick for being a dick, because at least he's just being who he really is. At least he doesn't have all these hated thoughts towards people and then keeps them buried alive and then comes up to you like, hey, what's up, brother? How you doing? Good, man. No, he's like, hey, fuckface, don't be selling tickets to that other fuckface's show.
Yeah, I don't like that fuckface.
I don't like that fuckface.
Hey, fuckface.
Right now I like you. But if you sell fucking tickets to that fuckface's show...
Now you're a fuckface.
Then that makes you a fuckface. And you're like, what? He called me a fuckface? That's emasculating. That fucking put me down. I'm a goddamn man. I'm not gonna stand for that shit. What do I do? What do I do? I'm gonna make a video. Hey, this guy called me a fuckface. I'm having a pretty bad day. And then this guy makes it worse. Fuck this guy.
I think a lot of that's where it came from, though, is that Chris is having some serious fucking issues in his personal life,
yeah.
And he let that be the catalyst to
that
video.
It happens to the best of us.
I really try to check myself on like when I make videos.
Yeah,
like, I've made videos and put them up and then been like, you know what, maybe I should just delete that shit. And I'm so unimportant that nobody's gonna like pull the audio.
Yeah, you're like a Caligo song. The song is important.
Right, exactly. So I, you know, my shit's actually deleted. It's not gonna be floating around anywhere.
Support the fucking scene.
But Chris does, though. I'll give that to him. But so that's what confused me by the whole unite the scene against a band, because he's always been unite the scene.
Right.
You can't unite anybody against a band.
You can't isolate.
You can't do that.
That's...
No matter how... Yeah. What kind of beef you have with another band, you can't... If you're going to unite the scene, you're going to unite the scene. The scene is the scene.
You can't and be like, let's all integrate so we can segregate.
And Mushroomhead's not just part of the Northeastern Ohio music scene. They are the Northeastern Ohio music scene. They have been for fucking ever.
27 like, years, man.
It's Mushroom Head. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It's Ohio, man.
Yeah, you don't have to love it.
Yeah. Even when Chimera was like on top of their game and they had huge tours. Huge fucking tours.
They sure
and they were fucking doing it really well. Even when they were at the top of their game, people still talked about Mushroom Head.
Right.
It was still Mushroomhead's fucking game. It was still Mushroomhead. The only people that talked about Chimera were just Chimera fans.
Right.
Everybody talked about Mushroomhead. Everybody knew who Mushroomhead was.
Mushroomhead?
I didn't even know where the fuck Chimera came from. Chimera was so left field for me, dude, which was crazy because I had never seen them play any show. I never seen them open for any band. I never seen any bands open for them.
Dude,
and
same then year.
They're touring with Slayer. And I'm like, who the fuck's
Chimera?
So many
shows back in the day, and they're like, Cleveland band Chimera. And I'm like,
who?
Where'd this come from?
Who's Chimera? That's how it hit me. Out of left field, dude. Like,
I've seen 100 Cleveland bands. I've seen 100 of them.
I was same way with you, just immersed in the scene, like, how did I not know about Chimera?
Right.
But I didn't.
I never admitted that to anybody. And then you said it, and I was like, oh, my God.
That's the truth.
Like, I've never bullshitted anybody, but like, man, I used to see Kimura all the time. But like, I've never been like,
I didn't know who the fuck they were. I've never seen Kimura live. Never.
Never?
Never seen Kimura live. I've never seen Kimura live. Not that I can remember. I've never gone to a Kimura show. I was going to go to a Kimura Christmas once and didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen him live. So I never seen him. I never knew about him. And then they were huge out of nowhere.
Yes.
But again, even when they had that album big,
that was like, when they got signed to Roadrunner, it was over. It was just right. Like, jeez. Right.
You know, and then the whole Roadrunner thing. Mushroom Man, Slipknot.
Yeah. Okay, next. I think we should play a mosh.
Yeah, that's cool. You know,
we'll get back into this. We'll get back into this.
Mosh up time! Because we bring that shit to you here at Keep It 99.
Yeah.
We got them mosh-ups, bitch.
We'll be right back after this mosh-up. Future ahead of it. You go to all these shows. I'm not immersed into it like you are, but I was for many years, so I understand, you know, the atmosphere and the kind of personalities. Yeah,
I think bands now are starting to work together a bit more than what they used to, because they're starting to realize that, you know, there's some dickhead fucking promoters and they're seeing how they do things.
And we can state that there's like really a lot of talented bands around you, like really, really good bands.
Yeah, we said we're blessed as far as that goes. We're like oversaturated with musicians in the state,
right?
And you know, especially the Northeastern Ohio music scene, Kent, Akron, Cleveland. It's crazy how many musicians come out of here,
mm-hmm.
and how many people are really good. There's a ton of people that are fucking, you know, super good that you'll never hear about ever. You know, there's a guy named Mike Lenz in Ohio. And if you don't know that dude, check him out.
Highway 61?
Yeah. And he also does just like Mike Lenz,
mm-hmm.
right? Like he'll do like Mike Lenz night. And it's just all old blues. But there's not a fucking blues song on the planet that you can't just fucking name that he doesn't know. Like if he's like, what do you want to hear?
Dylan jams a lot with him from Caligo.
Yeah.
Uniting the scene, bringing it back together, connecting dots.
Caligo plays, or Dylan plays with a lot of people.
Yeah.
He's
professional drummer.
He's a he's a studio drummer and shit. So like he's all over the place. If you want him and he's got the time,
he'll fucking sound lights.
Yeah. And he always comes up with time somehow. I don't even know how he does it. He's like, you know,
he's like The Rock.
30 and has gray hair.
Yeah. He was gray by the time he was 20.
Yeah. That kid. He's a hardworking kid and he's a great drummer. He does. He works with a lot of fucking people. And yeah, he tours with Lens.
Mm-hmm.
And they do the whole Highway 61 thing and go down to Florida and do a bunch of shows down there. It's a great band.
Today, we TMZ'd our own local scene. Oh my God, did you hear what this guy said about this other guy? Oh, it's crazy. Some people agreed with him, some people disagreed, then some other people, they had their own two cents. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't unite the scene against Mushroom Man because you're going to divide the scene right down the middle.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people that don't like Mushroom Man. So they're going to be like, yeah, that's right, fuck them. And there's plenty of people that love Mushroom Head, so then they're going to be like, yeah, fuck you guys.
You know who a lot of people that love Mushroom Head nowadays are? Is their kids. It's 16-year-olds. It's people that just got their driver's license and they want to go to a local show, but they know who Mushroom Head is.
Right.
And so they want to go see that, and that becomes their thing. Like, they still have the, especially with the gimmick and shit, like, they have the capability to just be able to draw a younger crowd because they put on a good show. You know what a Mushroom Head show is going to be.
Yeah, it is. And regardless of if they've played the same set
a billion times over
and for many years, it still sells out clubs.
Yeah, they're not people, just bringing
people always
in.
Still have a good time. Like, even if they're playing the same set, like, it is what it is. As long as the fans are still having a good time,
mm-hmm.
You know. Look, I agree they should change shit up. Shit gets stale.
It'd be more enjoyable for you. But you're also, you know, like, you've seen it. Dozens and dozens of times already.
Yeah, and it's still a good show. I dread working Mushroom Head shows.
Right.
Just because I got to deal with the fucking crowd. And I never know what I'm going to get with the Mushroom Head crowd. Either it's going to be a good night and everybody's going to behave themselves, or I'm going to have a fucking shitty night and we're going to be breaking up fights left and right. You know? That's just whatever. That's my position and shit. But any of those shows, like, they always put on a good show. It's always a good show. So... The only shitty part about a Mushroom Head show for me is the working the crowd, because that's my job. That's what I have to do.
Right.
But as far as the Mushroom Head show goes, they always put on a good show. So.
Yeah, they've been all around the world. They played. I mean, shit. At this point in the game, thousands. Do you want to say thousands of shows?
It was good when Waylon was in the band, like when Popson left and shit, and it was Waylon, and it was kind of like that new thing. It freshened it up a bit.
Right. Yeah. You know? Okay.
And Waylon was good. But once Popson came back, it just didn't fit anymore. I didn't understand it. It didn't work, you know, for me. I was just like, they're kind of keeping him in the band because he's awesome.
And ultimately, dude, ended you know up what I mean? Ways with the band.
Right. In a very bad way, like, which creates all this fucking drama. It's like this ripple effect.
Especially amongst the bands within the scene that have played the shows with Mushroom Head and got to know certain guys. And a lot of people love Waylon.
Right, they got close to that guy. Yeah, they got close to Waylon.
And so a lot of people love some of the other guys in the Mushroom Head camp. And so then there becomes this thing of gossip and drama that goes on.
It creates a rift.
Yeah, and then we podcast about it.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever. Like, that's what we do. We talk about shit.
Right.
So, they play music.
Exactly.
Play music. We talk about shit. So, let us talk about shit. That's right. What the fuck we do.
Yeah.
It's okay. So, fucking, you can't unite a scene if you divide it right down the middle. And that's the problem that you have with that, is because so many people like Waylon as a person and what he did with Mushroom Head, that they're against Mushroom Head. Mm-hmm. And they're with Waylon. And then there's all the other people that just love Mushroom Head and are against all those people because they're against Mushroom Head.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But most of those people still like Waylon too. You know? A Killer's Confession, they were a lot better live than they were when I heard them on the internet, like when they released their shit.
Yes.
And you know, we talked about it on the show.
Right.
It was a lot better live. And I think Waylon is so much better off doing what he's doing now because he's a personable guy. Like, he likes to talk in between fucking bands. He's almost a fucking stand-up comic.
Yeah.
Like, he's a funny dude, you know? And
he's a performer.
He is. And that's what he does. He you know, he plays to the crowd and he puts on a good show. The band fucking were all, like, really personable dudes. And, like, the guitar player was fucking talking to the crowd. The other fucking dude was playing with the crowd. Like, the whole band what they just interacted really well with their fans. And so I think what he's doing is better off for him than he was when he was in Mushroom Head. It fits him better. It suits him better.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole division that's going on and the beef that you have with Mushroom Head and the beef that Mushroom Head has with him. And it's like, you're doing nothing but fucking the scene up. No matter how much you sit there and talk about, you know, oh, we're going to leave that in the past and blah, 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 and this and that. Like, it's quite on the surface.
Yeah.
And it's a huge dividing line. So you can't unite the scene at all. And especially you can't unite the scene against a fucking band and expect the scene to be a scene.
Hello and welcome to this week's commercial for I Can't Read. I'm Paul.
And I'm Tony.
Join us every week as we kick off the show with entertainment news, then we dive into Genre 5, which is a list of five of our most loved or hated genres, actors, things in movies, television, comics, or video games. I get it, not all of that is considered a genre, but get off my ass. It's hard to think of different subgenres every week, so yes, we take liberties with the name. Then fall down the rabbit hole that is Test of Tony, in which Tony, and sometimes me if I have the gumption to partake, gets to relive a movie from his past, and with his old sage-like eyes tells me if it stands the test of time and passes the test of Tony. And to cap off this wild ride of two dickheads giving their opinions on movies, we head into Movie of the Week, where our heroes both watch the same movie and discuss it. Honestly, it's more like a book club. Either way, check us out at lousyweathermedia.com and now enjoy the show. And as always, go burn books.
I feel like we should recap what we've learned today about the scene. Because we talked about different eras. Talked about different eras.
Okay, here's what you should do.
Obviously, we don't feel like it's in any danger. There's plenty of cool bands that are gonna keep it alive and well for a long time.
Here's the most important lesson: stay in your own lane. Just do what you do. Stay in your own lane. Do what you do. Worry about your band. Mm-hmm. Write your fucking music. Let it speak for itself. Don't worry about what other bands are doing or how they're running their fucking shows. It's their show. You know, if you don't like how this promoter is doing this, if you don't like how this band is doing this, don't work with that promoter. Don't work with that band. It's that simple. Look, if you liked Waylon and Mushroom Head and you liked Mushroom Head, then there's no reason to fucking hate the dudes now because there was a personal fucking beef. It has nothing to do with the fucking music. Like, it has nothing to do with it.
Right.
You fucking like Mushroom Head's music, you like Mushroom Head's music. Fucking like Mushroom Head. You like Waylon? Fucking like Waylon. Go to his shows. Buy his shit. Like, there's no fucking law or line drawn in the sand anywhere on this fucking planet that says you have to make a choice and you have to do this and you have to do that. Like, you fucking like what you like, goddammit.
Right.
And it's the fucking music scene. The way this music scene ran when it was the best, when it was the strongest, when I felt like it was at its peak and there was 300 people every fucking weekend at shows, no matter what the fucking show was, it was always fucking sold out and everybody was always having a good time. It was when bands were truly united and working together and trading shows and helping each other sell each other's merch. And, you know, like,
yes.
when bands actually fucking worked together, it just hasn't happened in a long time. I am seeing it more and more that these fucking younger cats are kind of catching on and they want to work with each other more and they're trying to make more connections. Mm-hmm. Bands are touring younger and younger, these fucking high school kids. More and more are starting to fucking get out and just play on the road because they understand that the only way that they're going to make it as a band and get their music to people is by touring. And I tell them all that all the time. You're like, you got to get on the fucking road. You can't just fucking rely on social media. Stop relying on social media. And trading shows with other bands and uniting a music scene, not just locally but nationally, is how you get that shit done. So you just need to cut out all the fucking bullshit drama and play some fucking shows. Stay in your lane. Worry about you. Do what you do. Sell your shit. Play your shit.
Well said. I think it's gonna be that time.
Yeah, that's cool.
Talking about uniting the scene.
So you might as well, you know,
play some Beatallica, cause they're badass.
Yeah! Oh,
Wisconsin, motherfucker.
Cause they're coming.
They're coming. We're going to be going next week.
Yeah, next week.
Next week, we are going to be seeing Beatallica.
Stoked.
We'll be talking with James at the show. Probably pull some audio there.
Cool.
I
can't wait. This is going to be awesome.
Metallica's play with Oakley Doakley at the Buzz Bin down in Canton on June 6th.
I might mosh.
Redbeard's going to be there. I am going to be there. Some of our wonderful friends are going to be there. Hopefully you listening will be there. $8 a ticket.
This is crazy.
Will, like, seriously. You, Will, yeah, look, go boom, order,
I know
done.
How much you motherfuckers pay to get into shows because I'm the one that's taking your fucking money all the time. This show is $8. This show is $8. It's, you fucking people are paying $12 and $15 a fucking ticket to come to these fucking local shows and shit, dude. Metallica and Oakley Doakley for $8. Why wouldn't you be at this show? Go to this fucking show.
Metallica, if I had to describe them, I would say it's like the Beatles meets Metallica.
Oh, okay. I see what you did there.
I kind of see that.
I think the listener will see that when we play this here song to play him out with.
Because they are badass band of the week.
Come hang out. Come see them. Come see Oakley Doakley.
Come hang out with us. I'll buy you a beer. I'll buy you a beer.
I'll buy you a beer.
I'll buy you a beer.
Just ask. Come hang out. Hey, I listen to the show.
You're Rubber City Redbeard. I listen to the show. Buy me a beer.
Done.
Buy you a beer.
Don't even be shy about it.
No. Come right up to me. If you're underage, I'm not buying you a beer, though.
Yeah, you can't be underage to get into the show. I believe it's 21 and over.
Is it 21 and over? Yeah, I'm buying you a beer. Come up to me. Find me at the show. Buying you a beer.
So until next time, my name is Eagle.
I'm Rubber City Redbeard.
We'll see you at the Metallica show.
Peace.
Destruction! Right. For the mystery tour. This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.